Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome into another episode of Tailgate Talk SEC. I am Will Thomas, Week 9 preview on deck. Now, there is a lot going on in the SEC right now with all the coaching carousels. Florida versus Ole Miss war. You got the Auburn job maybe opening up. The LSU job might not be too far from opening up. But in this episode, we're just going to talk the ball that will be played this weekend. None of the football politics are going to come into this one. This will be a happy place. You know, this will be a happy place. And, before we get into it, if you have been enjoying the content, please subscribe. I'm trying to grow this channel, and everyone who has subscribed already and been viewing, I am incredibly grateful for, and I just want to keep growing this channel and keep bringing you guys football content just about every day of the year. But let's get right into this. We'll start off with some of the lesser matchups before we get into the higher caliber games, starting off with Auburn at Arkansas. Now, this line opened up with Auburn favored over Arkansas, which I thought was made no sense, and now Arkansas is favored by about a point and a half. Arkansas has the fourth best offense in the country in yards per game. Talen Green, Mike Washington Jr., Omega Blake, these guys are unbelievable football players. And if Arkansas had any pulse of a defense, I think they'd be a real contender in the SEC. Now, they don't, so they keep losing games, but this offense is something scary. Comparatively, Auburn, in the same stat, is 15th in the SEC, not even just nationally. They're 15th in their conference. Arkansas is 4th nationally. There is a massive difference in offenses. I mean, Arkansas has 178 more yards per game than Auburn does. Now, to be fair, with Auburn's offense, they've played Oklahoma, A&M, Georgia, and Missouri. Those are tough defenses to play against. And Arkansas has had their fair share of tough defenses, but they've had a bit of a lighter schedule. That said, I don't think that does not explain the gap in the stats. Arkansas's offense is elite, and Auburn's has really been struggling. Now, defensively, Auburn's defense is middle of the pack in the SEC. They're 8th in the conference in yards allowed per game at 316. Arkansas's is horrible. They are dead last in the conference, giving up 443 yards per game and 15 more points than Auburn per game. So when Arkansas has the ball, it is good versus good. With Arkansas's offense versus Auburn's defense, when Auburn's got the ball, bad versus bad with their offense versus the Hogs' defense. But I mean, Arkansas, they just dropped 40 on Texas A&M. And their defense, I do believe, is pretty comparable to Auburn's, if not a little bit better. So could we see Arkansas hang 40 again against the Tigers? And if they do, even against a bad Arkansas defense, can Auburn keep up? Because they haven't scored 17 points in SEC play. Sorry, they haven't scored more than 17 points in SEC play has Auburn. Now, like I said, they have played some tough defenses. But, you know, I don't know if a 20-point jump is realistic for this Auburn team going on the road, especially in a spot where I think there could be a bit of a quit factor given how this year so far has gone for Auburn. I think the Texas A&M data point matters a good bit because both teams have played the Aggies. Auburn went to College Station and lost 16-10. Arkansas had them at home, lost 45-42. That is a 32-point gap between these two teams when they've played A&M. Now, environment does matter, not 32 points worth. And something does have to give in this game, given the good versus good and bad versus bad. I think Arkansas's offense is just the better good. And I'm worried about Auburn maybe being broken and dead. So my prediction here, I've got Arkansas winning this game, maybe 34-24, something like that. And they add one more score and pull away late. I think this is the last game that Hugh Freeze coaches for Auburn. I believe that the Tigers coaching vacancy is about to open up, and we're going to have even more discourse in the SEC about head coachings. Alabama at South Carolina. Now, this line, I believe, is still Bama minus 13.5. I think maybe it moved to 12.5, but Bama, regardless, is still a double-digit favorite. South Carolina, they are dead last in the SEC in total offense. They have the third-worst passing offense, the worst rushing defense, and have the worst points per game in the conference. I thought Lenore Sellers was going to win the Heisman this year in the preseason. I was very wrong about the South Carolina offense. I thought they were going to be able to put it all together, build off of what they had last year. A bunch of key pieces are back. You have Roswell Faison coming in at running back. It has not worked. It just hasn't worked. And I don't know. I can't really pinpoint exactly what went wrong, but this whole Carolina offense is just broken. And Alabama is fourth in total defense in the SEC and fifth in points per game allowed. So why is this number below two scores? It was a little weird to me seeing that the number was, it's a big number, but given the profile of both these teams and what we've seen them do, I was surprised the number opened up less than 14. And if any part of what I think it is that Bama really is one-dimensional on offense. They can't run the ball effectively. They can run it a little bit, but they can't really rely on their running game to move the ball downfield and take pressure off of their passing game. And South Carolina, they have the fourth best pass defense in the SEC, only giving up 186 yards per game through the air, and they forced 8 picks, which is high third in the conference. So they're really able to wreak some havoc, force some turnovers in the passing game. But Ty Simpson is not the quarterback that you want to go against to keep those numbers. He has been very effective, lethal in the air. He threw for 3 scores against Missouri, who is even better than South Carolina in the secondary, also in a road spot. And Bama, they've given up 13 sacks this year, which is better than the SEC average, and they're able to handle Missouri's pass rushers, Zion Young and Damon Wilson, who I believe are incredible and among the best in the conference. So I do think they'll be able to handle Dylan Stewart, and if not totally stop him, at least contain him to where he can't totally wreck the game. I do believe in Cocktober as a principle. You know, I think going into South Carolina at this point in the season, it can be pretty scary. I don't know if I buy it right now. I don't know if it applies when South Carolina is 3-4 overall, 1-4 in the conference, and there's a lot of frustration really with Shane Beamer and that coaching staff that I did not think was going to exist for South Carolina this year. I think the team and fans, they should be up for this one. I don't know if it's enough for it to be a magical sort of environment, a game-changing scene. I think Alabama continues to flex their muscles, maybe 31-14, something like that. I think Bama pulls away late, and the Crimson Tide get another win in conference to just keep building up with their resume. This game is gross. Texas at Mississippi State. Texas favored by 6.5. This Texas offense is so bad. I mean, no signs of life at Kentucky, whose total defense is even worse than Mississippi State's, which is just okay. I mean, Arch Manning is just not working right now. Their running game is just not working. Their skill players out wide, they're not being as effective as we thought they could be. But can you get them on the ground if you're Texas? Because their running game has shown, it's shown signs, right? You saw Quintrevion Weisner have a great game against Oklahoma, whose run defense is awesome. And Mississippi State, they're 14th in the SEC in rush defense, allowing 164 yards on the ground per game. We saw Jaden Baugh for Florida last week against Mississippi State be very, very effective. I believe he was north of 6 yards per carry. So can Texas do that same thing to the Bulldogs? And Texas's defense, it's awesome. You know, it's what's keeping this team afloat. And Mississippi State's offense is in the lower half of the SEC. I believe they can hold Mississippi State to below 20 points. And it really comes down to if Arch and that offense can get in the 24. You know, can you limit mistakes? Can Arch be a little more consistent? Because he was not consistent or sharp at all in Lexington last week. Because in Power 4 games, Texas' stats, they scored 7 points, 21, 23, and 16. That is 16.7 points per game against Power 4 opponents. That is nonsensical to say after how good we thought this Texas team offensively was, talent-wise, with Steve Sarkisian at the helm coming into the preseason. Their defense has played great aside from... Oh, sorry. They've played great defenses aside from Kentucky. But how much of that last week was a letdown spot? You know, coming off the Red River game, having to go to a sleepy road environment against a team that's not much of a threat. You know, was Texas just not ready? I do believe that could be at play. I don't think the offense is any good for Texas. I don't think it's really this bad, though. And Cutter Bowley going into the... Blake Shapen going into the Texas defense, I believe, is going to be fine. He'll get some of his because Cutter Bowley did it for Kentucky. But I just think Texas is going to be too much for Mississippi State. It'll be relatively competitive. I think it'll be an ugly, low-scoring game. Texas 24-17 maybe is where I go for the final score. I believe the state will be competitive, but just not quite enough to knock off the Longhorns at home. And then our last sort of sleepy game, Tennessee at Kentucky. Tennessee's favored by 9.5. It feels like Kentucky really gave their best effort last week against Texas, and they came up short in that overtime match. I mean, they're 2-4 overall, 0-4 in conference. Are they just out of steam? I was worried about Mark Stoops keeping this job all year coming into the season because I thought it was going to be a really long year for the Wildcats. It seems like that might be what's happening. Tennessee, second best total offense in the SEC, the best passing offense and the fourth best rush defense. I mean, we saw that offense. They threw had some turnovers, were a little bit slow against a great Bama team, but they showed flashes of what they can do in Tuscaloosa last week. Kentucky is the third worst overall defense, fourth worst pass defense, 11th best rush defense. Texas, they held Texas pretty good. But the Texas offense is broken. Like I said, I just haven't quite clicked. And I do believe that was Kentucky's like home run game. You know, I think that was their best showing. I'm not sure they can replicate it. But why is the line below 10? It's still the same thing I talked about with Bama, South Carolina. Like, all these metrics imply that Tennessee should run away with this game. The line doesn't really show that. And I think that part of it is because Tennessee, they have the worst pass defense in the SEC because of injuries, not because of the roster, because they're down Jermaine McCoy. They're down a bunch of guys in that secondary. So can Cutter Bowley produce a little bit? Because he was great against Texas, 31 of 39 for 258. And Texas defense is way better than Tennessee's. I kind of go back to, was that Kentucky's best showing, and can they replicate it? If they are going to replicate it, they need Seth McGowan to have a great game. He was a little bit quiet against Texas. Can he get up and have a better game against Tennessee? I do believe the Vols are a good enough team where I can buy into a good bounce-back performance here, even though it is back-to-back on the road. Preseason, I actually had picked Kentucky to win this game in this spot. I'm going to revise that. I think Tennessee is able to win this game because Kentucky is even worse than I thought they were going to be. So give me the Vols by two or three scores. I do believe they run away with this one. Aguilar should throw for 275 in a few scores. And I have been worried about Aguilar throwing picks and turning the ball over. I don't think Kentucky's defense is a high enough caliber unit to really do that, at least to the point where it impacts the game. So give me Tennessee to win this game relatively comfortably in Lexington. Ole Miss at Oklahoma. Oklahoma favored by 4.5, and the Sooners are coming off an absolute sledgehammering of South Carolina. It was an ugly game. Their offense wasn't great, but now they get to come back home with that defense and get an Ole Miss team coming off their first loss at Georgia in a shootout. Now, this game is a total style clash. Ole Miss wants to play high-scoring games in the 30s and the 40s. Oklahoma will be totally happy winning a game 10-7 because of how this team profiles. Ole Miss, offensively, they are third in the SEC in total offense and fourth in points, in total points and points per game. Oklahoma has the best total defense in the conference. They're the best in points and the best in points per game. On the other side, Ole Miss has the second worst rush defense in the SEC and the fourth worst in points allowed. Oklahoma is the fifth worst rushing offense in the conference and they're 10th in points. So it's like Auburn, Arkansas, where it's good versus good when Ole Miss has the ball, bad versus bad when Oklahoma has the ball. I do think that the edge is probably on Oklahoma's offense versus Ole Miss's defense because the disparity in metrics isn't quite as stark on that side. I didn't love Trinidad Chambliss at Georgia. He was explosive at times, but a lot of his yards, if you go back and watch that tape, it came from shorter passes that the receivers were able to break free and create explosive plays. But he was only 19 of 36 passing, so he wasn't quite as accurate, wasn't as consistent as we've seen him be against a good defense in a hostile environment. Oklahoma's defense is 100 yards better per game than Georgia's. It's 90 yards better per game against the pass. In Oklahoma, they can really rush the passer. Georgia can't. Georgia got zero sacks on Chambliss. Oklahoma, I think, is going to be able to live in the backfield because of how good their pass rush is and how good that front is. I think Chambliss is going to be, you know, I think it'll be a similar story, maybe even a little bit worse because I do think he gets beat up a little bit in this game. And Oklahoma, offensively, their biggest issue has been they have not been able to run the ball at all. And they found a pulse last week against South Carolina. Now, LSU did this also a few weeks ago. I didn't put any stock into it because I think Carolina is, they're not good at stopping the run. So I didn't really buy it. I don't buy it service level here either for Oklahoma. But Ole Miss's rushing defense is even worse than South Carolina's. So I think maybe they're able to replicate it. If Torrey Blaylock can rush for like 90 yards in this game, that's going to really set the tone and give Oklahoma a massive edge. The number looks weird. It's a weird number on the spread because Ole Miss, like, are they really going to lose two games in a row? This team was near the top of the SEC. Are they really going to drop back-to-back? I think they do. I'm going to go Oklahoma like 28-20, something about that. I think that their defense is just too good. I think Chambliss is going to be a little inconsistent yet again, and Ole Miss drops their second game in a row in Oklahoma after their loss to Texas. Sort of gets it back together, gets into a bit more of a flow, and we'll see them win another game here, probably just by one score. This game should be competitive, but I do like the Sooners in this one. Let's go to where college game is going to be at. Missouri at Vanderbilt. How about a playoff eliminator in Missouri versus Vandy? I believe this line is now at Vandy minus 2.5. Vandy's coming off a big-time emotional win at home against LSU. And they have to deal with a top-10 ranking now. I don't know what Vanderbilt looks like with a top-10 ranking. I don't think anybody does. So there's sort of that dealing with success element that you worry about. Clark Lee and Diego Pavia might be an objection to that rule. I don't even think that they know that they're ranked. You know, I think this team plays with such a chip on their shoulder because of the leadership of Lee and Pavia. I think that mentally they'll be totally fine. I don't think they're going to think that they're too pretty, they're too good, and they just have to show up and that'll be good enough. I think they're still going to come out and give 100% like they're the underdog. And for Missouri, They're coming off that absolute nightmare of a game at Auburn. They're also 6-1. And both teams, they're top six in the SEC in total offense. They're number two and number three in points per game, with Vandy being number two, Missouri being number three. Missouri's defense is 4 points per game better defensively, but more importantly, they have the second best run defense in the SEC, only allowing 83.9 yards per game. And Vandy wants to run the ball, right? They're the third best rushing offense in the SEC, getting 213 yards on the ground per game. So what's going to give? Because that's going to decide the game for me. Vanderbilt needs to run the ball, really, to keep their offense effective. They can't rely on the pass to be what moves them down the field. They can hit explosives, and they can throw the ball. That's not what they want to rely on. On the other side, though, Missouri, they want to do the same thing. They also want to run the ball with Ahmad Hardy. They haven't been able to do that lately. Against Bama and Auburn, which, granted, are two very good rush defenses, Ahmad Hardy has been quiet. And their running game really hasn't scaled up with the competition level. We saw them do great in their first five games. Now against these last two teams, which are very much higher caliber opponents, it hasn't scaled. And we haven't seen Missouri be as effective against these better teams. So it's not obvious to me that this run game can really scale and still be effective, especially on the road against a great team like Vanderbilt is. Sacks-wise, this is where I think you're going to see the game maybe get decided. Missouri has forced 21. Vandy has forced 20. Those are both solid numbers in the conference. Missouri has allowed 17 sacks. Vandy has only allowed 5. That is good for 7th in the country, and it is the best number in the SEC. Now, a lot of that credit, it goes to obviously the offensive line, but also to Diego Pavia for being able to avoid sacks, create with his feet, and make quick decisions with the ball when they are in passing situations. I also am wondering, like, you know, who needs this more? Who is more desperate? Because both teams have a loss. So if they drop one more game, their margin for error is totally gone. If Missouri loses this game, they'll have 2 losses and need to win out to make the playoff against Texas A&M, Mississippi State, at Oklahoma, and at Arkansas. If Vandy loses, their win-out slate is at Texas, versus Auburn, versus Kentucky, and at Tennessee. That is a taller task, in my mind, for Missouri. So I think that Missouri is the team that is coming into this more like, you know, back against the wall. We need this game to give ourselves one, you know, some room for error down the stretch. I don't think that Vandy can be out desperationed, not a word, but you know what I mean? Like, especially at home, I don't think Vandy can be, you know, out chip on their shoulder. I'm making things up, but you guys understand what I'm saying. Like, this Vanderbilt team plays with such an attitude that I don't think that they're ever going to want it less than the team they're playing against. And Missouri, they showed a lot of cracks on both sides of the ball against Auburn. I think Vandy can exploit those. Give me Vanderbilt to go 7-1, you know, 31-20, extend the lead late. I think Vanderbilt gets a massive win at home with College Game Day and the eyes of the college football world on Nashville. And finally, the game that I think is going to surprise some people, Texas A&M at LSU. A&M is only favored by 2.5. That's the first red flag. My pick for this game was made before I even capped the game because of what the number is at. Because you have undefeated A&M, who has shown they can win high-scoring games and low-scoring games. They won a game at Notre Dame, who now looks like an absolute juggernaut. They're less than a field goal favorite against an LSU team that has looked slow, just lost to Vanderbilt, had to, you know, barely beat South Carolina at home. What is the line doing at 2.5? Because LSU, they're in the bottom 5 in the conference in total offense, the second worst rush offense in the SEC. Now, A&M's defense is just middle of the pack in really in everything, but they're third in sacks. That defensive line gets a lot of pressure, and Garrett Nussmeier, we've seen him get hit, but also banged up and a little hurt. He hasn't been 100% at times, so if A&M is able to beat him up and get him not 100% healthy, that is going to be a massive hindrance on LSU's offense. He's only been sacked 9 times. Though has Nussmeier, because he's good at getting the ball out, and he is not afraid of stepping into a throw with a defensive lineman in his face. He is incredibly brave in the pocket, so he gets hit a lot, but he's not going to get sacked. It's really impressive watching Nussmeier stand in the pocket and take these hits and make some throws. A&M's defense, however, is number 5 in passing yards per game and rush yards per game in the SEC. Those are both great stats, and they're consistently good in every metric, but not elite. That feels like the winning formula for me in the SEC this year, because there's not really one team at all, you know, that's elite, that's great everywhere. You'll see teams that are elite in some spots, but that comes at the expense of being weaker in others because of how spread out the talent is. A&M, they have elite players, obviously, but they don't have a unit that is like one of the best in the country. They're just good everywhere, and that good everywhere has helped them to lean on teams and be undefeated to this point. I mean, they just have playmakers everywhere who do their job, because 7-0 is not a fluke at all for A&M. Here's why I want to pick LSU in this game. After all I just said, here's why I want to pick LSU. Desperation. It is such a crazy thing in college football. We saw Florida, when they were desperate, beat Texas at home, and then Texas became desperate, turned around, and beat the crap out of Oklahoma. Now you have LSU at home. They already have two losses. If they lose this game, Brian Kelly's seat gets not just warm, I think it gets hot. Because if you fall to 2-3 in the SEC with this LSU team, people are not going to be happy. And I think Brian Kelly's name gets thrown around a lot in these hot seat discussions. Death Valley at night. Number three team in town. Need to have a kind of game. Give me LSU 28-21, something like that. I think that this is the game where LSU is like, you know, they put their foot down. You know, we are a better team than we've played so far this year. We haven't been able to run the ball. Let's establish some identity on the ground. Let's open up the passing game for our playmakers. I think LSU gets this one done. I really do. I mean, for A&M, this is not at all a, you know, a season-ending loss at all. It'll be their first loss. I think the Aggies are a really good football team. I still like them to get to Atlanta. But in this spot, just a spot play, I think LSU wins this game against the Aggies. So there it is. There are all the games in Week 9 of the SEC slates. I think this could be a really consequential week. I think this is the last game for Hugh Freeze. And if I'm wrong about the LSU A&M pick, it won't be the last game for Brian Kelly. But it could be the beginning of the end for him in Baton Rouge. I think we get a ton of great games this week. I think we're going to see a lot of ramifications, really, from each one that comes out. This is going to be an awesome week of college football. So thank you guys so much for watching this episode of Tailgate Talk SEC or Week 9 Preview. Please subscribe if you like the video. I've been Will Thomas, and I will see you next time.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Cobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.